Welcome to the Abbas for Today podcast. We're going to talk about large houses. There seems to be a lot of conversation going on around this topic. We've had articles in the local paper. We've had public hearings. And there seems to be a great deal of contention around them, but we're going to try and get to the bottom of it. Join us, won't you? So large houses seem to be really dominating the news cycle here in Abbotsford lately. We've seen public hearings. We've seen a couple of front page stories on large houses. And if you managed to get a copy of our first issue, we touched on it in Abbotsford Today. And you can read that story at abbotsfordtoday.ca and have a look through the top stories in the print edition right at the top of the homepage, and you'll find our thoughts on big houses here in Abbotsford. But I want to talk today a little bit about some of the issues related to it. And the first thing I want to say is that just today, in the local newspaper, you will have seen a statement from a couple of councillors, most notably Kelly Chahal, who said that she would like to see the language around big houses changed. She no longer wants to hear the term monster houses, because this is a negative connotation and it is largely directed at Indo-Canadian families. Now, I point this out in my article. In fact, I go so far as to say that this debate we're having is full of racial undertones. It just happens to be a cultural thing that we have going on in this town. We have our Indo-Canadian brothers and sisters who like to live with their extended families, and for that they need a larger home. But we don't historically do that in North America. Caucasian families actually have fairly small homes. But there's an interesting statistic that I want to bring to your attention. And that is that even in white families, our homes are getting bigger and bigger. In 1950, the average home size was under 1,000 square feet. By 1970, it was 1,500 square feet. And in 2004, that average home size had ballooned up to 2,500 square feet. And it's still going up. The more recent stats are unavailable, and they kind of float around a little bit, because after 2004, we have big jumps in things like townhomes and these things called detached townhomes. And we've basically developed a whole bunch of different ways of building. And these are it's very hard to pin down what a single family home is now, because the definition of that is really changing. But it doesn't make much difference to us here in Abbotsford. We have this strange, and I don't really understand it, this strange thing against very large houses. It is nothing more than aesthetics. I actually took the time the other day to drive through a neighborhood that is what I call a neighborhood in transition. And I believe it might even be in the infill areas identified by the city of Abbotsford in its community plan. But I kind of find that irrelevant. I mean, you know, infill is something that we have designated within the city in order to increase our density. But that's happening anyway. You know, just in today's newspaper, an announcement of a 600-unit property development. In previous stories, the city is having more townhomes and condos approved and single-family homes. You know, in my article, I talk about the fact that this is much ado about nothing, and it really is. The market is taking care of itself. People can't afford large homes. And those that can, they're going to find a builder to build it for them. And that doesn't matter whether you're white or whether you're brown. And, you know, we have that bias here in Abbotsford. I mention in my column that if you are living on Eagle Mountain and you're building a 5,000 multi-million dollar square foot home up there, no one says anything about it. But if you're building in East Abbotsford in a 30 or 40 year old neighborhood and you've torn down an old home and you're going to build on the maximum footprint you can, all of a sudden people don't like that. And it has to do with a couple of things, I think. And one is quite plainly a racial issue. People say, I just don't like the way they look. But they do that as they walk back into their 1970s rancher. And what they're really saying is we don't like the way these large homes affect my property values. And so why is that? Well, who's living in the large homes? Mostly brown people. That's just the way it is. Don't get mad at me for actually identifying the actual bone of contention here. So what happens? The big home gets built. Then lots of cars show up because there's 3, 4, 5 families living in the same home. And then what else happens? Well, that large home is now, and in what I observed driving through a neighborhood the other day, that is now the nicest home in the neighborhood. It's a brand new home. And the other homes in the neighborhood are from the 70s and 60s and maybe even before. And those homes just don't look so good anymore. So their curb appeal goes down, their property values might go down. But what they really don't like is that's a lot of brown people all moving into one home. And, you know, we can just say it, can't we? Because, you know, if we don't have open and honest conversations about what's really bothering us, we won't get to the bottom of it. And when Councillor Chahal said the other day that she wants to change the language around these homes, in a very subtle way, she's trying to stick up for the Indo-Canadians in this town. Because they really do, as my article points out, relieve a lot of burden on the rest of our society. They look after 3, 4, and 5 generations. We have home availability issues right now. Don't be fooled by all of the development that is being approved by City Hall. We are way, way behind in terms of the amount of property we need to build, the amount of homes we need to build in order to service the demand. We are way behind. And so when people build big homes and they put 3, 4, and 5 families into those homes, they are relieving the demand that can be taken up by other people that are waiting in line for a home. We also have this issue of low-income housing. And, you know, low-income housing, when you're not talking about those on social assistance, you're talking about two groups. You're talking about the young getting into the housing market and the old. And what happens in the Indo-Canadian community? Well, their children stay with them longer than in white communities. And their grandparents live with them for the balance of their lives. We don't do that in the white community. We send them off to retirement homes. We send them off to care homes or supported living homes. Well, not in the Indo-Canadian community. And this should really be admired and supported. The city should be doing things to support that, in my opinion. And, you know, you can feel free to differ. And if you do, tweet us at Abbotsford Today or leave a comment on the page this podcast is posted on, or drop me an email at editor@abbotsfordtoday.com. Abbotsfordtoday.ca. And let's have a conversation about it, because when we have a public hearing and one group says, I don't like it, and the other group says, I don't like it, you can't base policy decisions on that. They've got to come from a different place. And the whole idea that smaller homes will drive up home prices, well, that's actually a ridiculous notion. Because developers aren't really building them anyway. You know, the city itself says that more townhomes and condos are being built than single-family homes. So if there's a demand out there in the market for larger homes, they are coming from one portion of our community and one portion only. And, you know, that's not a universal statement. That's a generalized statement, but it is true. The other area where we see large homes is on farms. And the majority of our farmers, certainly a great portion of our farmers are Indo-Canadian. And they build large houses on farms for the very same reason. They have all their family living there with them. So I think that it would be very wise of us to take a step back from what we find aesthetically pleasing and what we find competitive in our neighborhoods and what we find culturally unacceptable, and start making decisions about the long-term viability of every aspect of our community. So in my column, you'll have seen me ask the question, is it racist to not like large homes? And I answered that question by saying that if you don't like large homes because you arbitrarily want to limit the way one group in this community chooses to live, in favor of the way you choose to live, then that is racist. And that's the only argument we've come up with so far. I don't like it in my neighborhood. So there is a practical aspect to answer that question, though, and that is that our neighborhoods are going to change. The neighborhood I drove through, the houses were 40 and 50 years old, and the big houses were all brand new. The neighborhoods are all going to have to change that way. Those 40 and 50 year old homes are eventually going to have to be replaced. That's just the way the world is. And what are we going to replace them with? And so this is the responsibility of city council to step forward and start saying, well, what do we want our neighborhoods to look like, and make a policy and stick to it. But don't create that policy based on the whims of a couple of people that step forward at a microphone. You know, I did a Google search that said, and my search phrase was, does the size of a home, of a new home, change the price? And what I was looking for there is, are homes that are 2,500 square feet sold at a different price than those at a 3,500 square feet? And, well, of course they do, because more material went into it, there's a higher price, but this is not proportional. This is a slight increase over a large increase. The biggest cost in any home, with few exceptions, and maybe we'll talk about that some other time, but the largest cost in any home right now is the lot. It's the single largest cost. It's the single item with the largest contributor to the overall price of a home is the lot cost. And so, so what are we going to do? Are we going to build for density? Or if we're not going to allow large homes, then what we really need to be doing is saying, okay, well, we're now going to take these lots and we're going to allow them to be subdivided. And I don't think that's practical, to be honest with you, because single family homes really need to have a backyard. And I want to say that while it's a bit of a tangent, I really don't agree with front yards. I think they're a complete waste of space. I don't think anyone uses their front yard. I'm probably offending all the gardeners in town who love their lawns and love to put their flowers in their front yard and love to show off the hard work that they do. And I appreciate your effort, but I just think that the days of a front yard are over. We have water issues in this town. Sprinklers are the worst thing to use up water. Let's get rid of, if we took every front yard out of every house in Abbotsford, we wouldn't have a water issue. Not at all. So if we're going to subdivide lots, yeah, let's think about doing it. But we don't have to split them front to back. We can split them side to side and put in some laneways and get rid of these backyards, front yards, pardon me, and go with smaller homes that way. And, you know, it is really what people want. You know, so here's some anecdotal observations to support that. I saw a friend on Facebook announce the completion of a brand new home that they had built. But they didn't build one home. They built two. In the back was a carriage house. This is how you get around subdividing a regular size lot, is you put a big home on the front and a carriage home on the back. That home, a self-contained, complete house, is just small. And they put it on Facebook because they want someone to rent it. Now, does that really make sense? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to find a way to get around zoning laws and just build two homes on every lot anyway? So I put that out there because I really do think that all of this controversy is much ado about nothing. I think on the one hand, the market is going to take care of itself. And on the other hand, if we're going to generate policy by people's racial and cultural inclinations, we are headed down a very disastrous path. If we really want to address this issue, then what we've got to do is we've got to look at what the market is really building and what the market demand is and start to work our zoning towards that. You know, we have an official community plan, and there's a lot of that plan that I completely agree with. But a plan is a plan. A plan is not a policy that goes into place. The official community plan does not include any zoning, changes in zoning. That's step two. You create the plan, and the next thing you do is you go into these neighborhoods and you decide what's going to be the right zoning. You know, we need that in a lot of areas. We need to redefine where industrial land can go. We're running out of it. We need to identify some more, and then we need to do something about that. Watch for a podcast on our industrial lands coming up in the near future. You know, we need to look at the zoning that we have around farm-based businesses. You know, we've got a lot of issues around that, about people in contravention of bylaws, and it creates a great deal of trouble for the neighbors and surrounding businesses and other businesses that are trying to get the same thing done and can't, because we've got a very inconsistent zoning and bylaws in this town. So I want to leave you with this thought that the next time you see a big house, just keep in mind that, in my view, that big house is often an addition and a complement to our community, and it is a renewal of our residential land and our residential housing. And I invite anyone listening to bring me some evidence that that is not true. I'm happy to take an email, a voicemail. You can tweet us, you can join us on Facebook, or you can comment right on the website. But tell me what you think. That's my point of view. I know you've all got one too. Thank you for joining me today. Bye for now.